excited because we're going to look at a passage that is so well known, and sometimes what happens, well known ones, we kind of forget. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, also called the Sanhedrin. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God someone be born by their own," Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. It blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Those of you who have ever heard the story, John Phillips, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, tells the delightful story of the two boys who came to their father, who was the king. And they had a little bit of a dispute between the two of them. The one boy said, "You could become a gentleman or a lady by discipline, by training, by learning, and an acquired skill." The other boy says, "No way. It's born into you. And that's the only way you become a gentleman or a lady." So they went to their father and they said, "Help us. We're a little bit of a conundrum here. We can't decide which one of us is correct. Father, good father that he is, doesn't answer the question. He says, I give you a week. Go out into the kingdom and go find proof of what you are saying. Bring that back and then we'll see which one of you is correct." So the two of them are out into the kingdom. The boy who says that you can be trained and educated and learned how to do this got an answer pretty quick. Middle of the week, goes into an inn, sits down, asks for a cup of tea. To his surprise, the waiter that brings him the tea is a cat, walking on his hind legs with a silver platter in his hands, and the tea on that, on his front legs, comes up to him, places the tea. He's stunned. This cat is dressed all beautiful like a waiter. He's got a little hat on the head. Does it all perfectly. He says, "There we go. Got my proof." So he says to the innkeeper, "I'd like to buy the cat off you." So he buys the cat. The other boy, he's struggling. He doesn't get anything. Word gets to him, "Your brother bought this cat. And it's an amazing thing. He's just proven his point. Just needs before they have to appear before their father, still has nothing, and he walks in the streets. And all of a sudden, he stops at the one store, he looks in the window, and he gets a big smile on his face. And he goes in, and he makes a purchase. Keeps it quiet. No one knows what it is. The next day, the two boys have to appear before the father, each with a big, the one has a big box, the other one has a smaller box. First guy opens his box, out walks the cat, dressed like the king. Got a crown on his head, got a robes like the king. He's got the silver tray again with the king's favorite chocolate on it. And he walks up to the king, and he presents it to the king. And they're all blown away. Wow! You really can. Bring even a cat to act like a gentleman or a lady. And all to look around at him. Poor second one, brother. He just missed the boat on this one. Said nothing. The way the people chatted about his little thing, he stood next to the king. Took his little box, he went down on the floor, he opened it up, and 12 white mice jumped out. And the next thing, you just see the crown flying, you see the silver tray flying, the favorite chocolate flying, and that cat was chasing the mice. Because all of a sudden, he's old, natural. Just came to the front, and there's no more cat on his hind legs trained to be a gentleman. You can train him as much as you want. You can educate him as much as you want. The moment you show him the mice, that's his natural thing. He'll chase the mice. Unfortunately, my friends, it's also true. So hard to do that. But the moment we stop and we start peeling back the layers and we take off the masks and we remove the costumes and you wash away the makeup, you'll discover that natural old nature over and over again. Just bring on a mask. Take my word for it. It's not me saying this. Can I take you to another passage in Scripture, reading from the New Living Translation? Book of Romans, chapter 7. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me, the old nature, that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but, there's your biblical but. There is another power within me that is at war with my mind. The power that makes me, look at this word, a slave. Slave has to do what he's told to do. Doesn't have a mind of his own. He's told what to do. The power makes me slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person. Legs and you can make me do all kinds of stuff. The moment I see the mice, there I go. I'm back to the old things. I lose my temper for nothing. you to see yourself for a second. When you were born into this world, you were a brand new creation that had never existed before. Those little hands that came into this world for the first time ever, those little hands were seen. And you can't buy that this world. Never touched anything in this world except the mother's womb. Those little feet, tiny little feet, that have walked on this earth ever before, brand new. Those little eyes that are now 70, 80, 60, 40, 20, 12, 10 years old, have never seen this world except for mama's womb. That's not original, that God did not give you. And who made you like that? Who created you like that? Who gave you those hands that today you can use to work and bless? Who gave you that voice to praise and to sing glory and to honor? Who gave you those feet that allow you to choose the color? Did you make your own hands? Those fingerprints that are so unique to this day. Did you make your own feet? And only one. His name is God. And there's only one who can give me a new birth. And he's God. Through his Holy Spirit. It's you. Because you see, here's the thing. When we train, when we educate, when we learn, it's habits that we teach and we do a makeover. You know, these makeover shows, right? Just put a little paint on the door and it looks brand new. You just cover up the carpet with something new and it looks all brand new, but you pick it up and it's still an old floor underneath. You take off the paint, it's still the old door 100 years ago. God, when He gives the new birth, does not just do a makeover. It's a brand new creation. As it created you wonderfully and fearfully in your mother's womb, God creates you brand new, wonderfully and fearfully by the Holy Spirit and the breath of the Holy Spirit. I think it's the greatest miracle that we've ever seen. God heals a sick person. Thank God He does that. It's amazing to see God as a prayer. It's mind-blowing to know that God cares for my life. But nothing can compare to that moment when God takes my life and He puts the Spirit on me and He rebirths me and I am a brand new creation. Paul says, a new mind. He gives me the mind of Jesus Christ that focuses on the kingdom of God. He gives me strength that goes beyond my strength. And I learn that His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. He gives me crucified hands that go and bless. Takes an old stone heart It's like when I was born that first night. It wasn't me struggling in birth pain. It wasn't my blood. It wasn't me crying. It was my mother who brought me into this world. Gave this gift. So it is God's struggle. It is God's son's blood. It is God's pain on the cross that births me into this new life called the new earth. It is a gift. And you say, what do I do? What about me? What do I do? I'd like to work. Surrender. But where does the surrender come? The surrender comes from, let me show you what Jesus says, and I'll finish in a second. Look how Jesus explains this. That's what he put verse 14 and 15 from John on there again for a second. Jesus says to him, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have. The story comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. People are in the wilderness. They get mad at God. They say all kinds of bad things against God. They do all kinds of horrible things. God gets mad at them. God sends snakes to bite them, venomous snakes. And as the snakes bite them, they start dying, and they're lying there in pain and suffering. And in that moment, they say, Moses, please pray to God. We're sorry. Ask forgiveness for us. God says to Moses, go make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, put the pole up. And anyone who looks up to that snake and sees the snake in faith, they will be saved and they won't die. And he put the snake up, and those who looked up and saw in faith, they were healed. They didn't. Those who look up to Jesus and in faith say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. They will be saved and they will have life, everlasting life. What must I do? In faith, I need to look and see my Jesus. See, those folks, they didn't have to take medicine. They didn't have to jump through hoops. They didn't have to go through rituals. They only had to look. All I need to do is to look and allow the Spirit of God to come into my life. Jesus explains it this way. This is my army. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So that anyone who believes in him shall never die. Will not see the Father world, but will be part of the kingdom of God forever. It is God who loves. It is God who gives. It is God who saves. And me. It is I. And then the wind will blow. Despite the fact that sometimes we still stumble and fall because of that old nature that trips us up, that you have given birth here in you, and we are made new creatures in you, and we are clothed with Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray this morning for us, Lord, for each one of us, that we might. While the choir comes up, maybe you can do your announcements. Grab the mic from one of those ladies there.
Foundation.
What else is the crown that you receive when you run in the marathon, in the Olympics?